Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The stalker drama that keeps on stalking is back on Netflix. You began its third season last Friday and already has a fourth season greenlighted. Co-creator, executive producer, and showrunner Sarah Gamble joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Talk about ambition. Our second guest this hour has a plan to take a trio of scripted series to your TV set somehow, some way, in the coming months. Meet actor and series maker Byron James after the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, no strike, no strike. Ava DuVernay goes for permanent television, we'll explain, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon for the Pro About TV's current and future. 60 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. Welcome to those that may be joining us from Advertising Week New York that's going on in Hudson Yards as we speak. We have a great hour in store for you, and we invite you to be part of the conversation. It's so simple. Interact with our guests. Just dial in and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. If you're shy about the phone, that's no problem with us because we got a chat room for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room either way. You are interactive with us. And while the problem is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Get on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Sarah Gamble from Netflix is you, live with us from Los Angeles, after these news notes. As Mr. Rogers might warble, it's a beautiful day in the TV production neighborhood. Credit that to a multi-year tentative agreement by the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, known as IACSE, and TV and film producers. Some 60,000 IACSE members, from sound technicians to set designers, would have been on strike today, shutting down TV series work all over the United States, had the parties not come to a deal over the weekend. The key issues? Pay increases, and on-set work conditions. IACSE members must ratify the agreement over the next few weeks, and some members are publicly upset over the terms, believing more progress could be made on several fronts, including pay for mega content production assignments. For now, IACSE President Matthew Loeb maintains the agreement is a good one and will be adopted. We'll keep you posted about how the vote goes. The future of film is television. So declared content maker Ava DuVernay this morning in a virtual engagement for Advertising Week New York. The quality of TV is on par with the storytelling quality of film, DuVernay contended, and that in very short order, key filmmakers will take the majority of their work for television presentation. At the same session, DuVernay, whose latest TV series, Unscripted Home Sweet Home, her first in that genre, started last Friday on NBC, called for TV and advertising industry officials to implement permanence. By that, a permanent landscape of maximum representation in both mediums that incorporates communities of color, people with disabilities, and the LGBTQ population. And finally, cable operator Altice USA has reached a new multi-year carriage deal with Viacom CBS. The pack covers CBS, the company's cable channels, and Paramount Plus. We'll have some news no quickies for you after the bottom of the hour. Right now, joining us live from Los Angeles in Air Radio Exclusive, the co-creator, executive, and showrunner of You, now in season 3 on Netflix, Sarah Gamble. Sarah, welcome in.
Hi. Good morning.
And good morning to you. Season 3 underway. What are you hearing about what people think about it?
I am getting a lot of texts from my friends telling me that I'm a pretty sick person after watching it. But I think they mean it in a nice way.
I can tell you, and we talked about this before you went on, that the people that talked to at Ad Week in New York, which is going on as we speak at the Hudson Yards here in the Big Apple, they love you. When I mentioned that you were going to be on our show today, they love the show. They cannot wait to get episode after episode. Why do you think this series, which deals with stalking, and maybe like the first television series that on an ongoing basis deals with that subject and someone who does it, why this has captured the attention not only of the United States but the world?
I think it's a lot of factors. I mean, we can't discount how incredibly watchable Penn Badgley is and just a lot of kismet in making the show come together. But I think if you look at the book, You, that our show is based on, it is so addictive. It's such a page-turner. I read it all in one sitting and kind of knew this is a really brilliant idea for a TV show. Being this far into somebody's head, it kind of naturally lends itself to you just want to keep seeing more. So what we did when we tried to create this TV show, Greg Berlanti and I and all the writers, is just we asked ourselves, why does the book do this to us, and can we replicate it a little bit for viewing audiences? We want you to want to binge it.
What was the most important thing you wanted to accomplish with this round of episodes, season three?
Well, first and foremost, we always just want to entertain you. And for a show like this that kind of lives and dies on all the twists and turns and surprises, that means being very hard on ourselves about keeping the premise fresh and surprising and switching it up enough from season to season that you won't tune into it and be like, well, that's the same thing as season two. We wanted it to kind of grab you by the end of the first episode. What I'm hoping is that people like it just as much and just want more, and that it starts some interesting conversations in their friend circle about some of the things that they see our characters do that are perhaps romantic but not very nice or good and maybe a little criminal.
And in this season, our I don't know if you call him anti-hero, anti-villain, whatever you want to say, played by Penn Badgley, is now married to Love, played by Victoria Pedretti, who's terrific, by the way. I've seen some clips of the opening episodes. And is there anything you wanted to say or your writing team wanted to say about contemporary marriage through the relationship that these two characters have?
We got to say a lot of things about marriage. That was the beautiful thing about doing that for 10 episodes. You know, we started this show as kind of a deeper exploration of the intensely problematic love stories that we all like so much on TV and in cinema and in books. And there aren't as many just straight up love stories about married life because married life is inherently more complicated. The happily ever after doesn't just end with daily bliss for the rest of your life. I mean, if you have a partner, you know this. So it just is kind of a gold mine because when you're in a true committed relationship, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my God, this person is my soulmate. And then sometimes you're like, I think that's my nemesis. So we wanted to capture both.
Mm-hmm. And then you throw in a child in the mix and then you have a whole other arc of storylines to work on. Do you, in the course of doing this series, have you gotten anecdotes from viewers who may have been victims of stalking and sort of giving you their tales? And have any of them made it to the point where they have actually become part of the plot line, whether it's the first season, the second season, or this one?
The show isn't based on anyone's particular true story, but it's very common to talk to people and hear that they were in relationships that were toxic and that crossed the line. And, you know, we're a very cheeky, subversive show, and we try to ride that line of tones where you're having a good time and we're really acknowledging that it's fiction. But what you're talking about is a really serious and pervasive issue in our culture. So we definitely try to walk that line so that we do acknowledge that there are some serious underpinnings to this that happen in real life all the time, and we would never want to, you know, make that seem more slight than it is. Certainly when we were staffing the writer's room and sitting down and having meeting after meeting with writers, pretty much everybody had a story to tell about maybe it didn't go as far as stalking, but they definitely had stories about either people who creeped them out or somebody who incited in them something where they kind of felt like they were crossing lines that they had never crossed before. Love really makes people go to whatever their extreme place is.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of extreme, that's what we're talking about. You, now in its third season on Netflix, already set to go for a season four. We have Sarah Gamble, the co-creator, executive producer, and showrunner of the series. She's live with us from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Wherever you are, we're happy to have you, too. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 63 at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Sarah, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Are we now in the era of 5G television, where your television service may be powered by 5G technology? Well, late last week, a company called SoundCloud International said, yes, we are, and we've got a service. It's called UMAX, that's UMAXX.TV. We'll showcase that service Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, and my lead guest will be the founder and head of SuperCloud, Jim Devrix. I think you'll be very interested in what these folks have to say. Do you believe what they're going to do? Well, we'll let you be the judge after you hear this live interview. Also, later in that program on Friday, we'll have Isabel Rafferty. She's back with us. She's the chief executive officer of Canela Media, one of the fast-rising Spanish-language TV companies. They've got Canela TV running on smart TV sets and smart devices, and they just launched the brand-new service, Canela Music, and there's more to come. Isabel Rafferty from Canela Media joining us live at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. The fun thing about you is that while you have ongoing characters, it's like you put together one big arc over the course of a season's episodes. How do you and your writing team deal with that buildup where you want to bring different storylines in, but you want to have it be like a cohesive whole when it's all over?
We always begin with the end in mind. We start by asking ourselves, what is the sort of smash-bang opening that we want to do in the premiere episode, and then where are we taking these characters by the end of the season? And then we sort of start to fill in all the dots in the middle. And the nice thing is, in the case of this season, and I won't give anything away for people who haven't seen it yet, the concern of the season is very much about the arc of this relationship between these two people who got married and have this baby, and will they be together by the end? Will they figure it out? But what's nice about starting with that is that as we're populating the world around them, as we're figuring out all these fun characters that you will love to hate and wonder if they're going to survive, we're thinking of them as sort of mirrors in different ways of Joe's journey and Love's journey. You'll meet a couple this season, and their marriage is very much kind of a light or dark reflection of what we're seeing going on with Love and Joe in many ways.
Sarah, you did an interview for The Wrap, the popular entertainment news website that came out this morning, and two quotes really hit in particular. Here's the first one. Any main character is only as good as their partner and as their antagonist. And then later on in the interview, you say it's very freeing to be inside these characters' heads. Elaborate more about what you said. First, about the idea of what the main character is good at.
Sure. If you're watching a main character, your hero or anti-hero or whatever you want to call them, whether it is James Bond or Tony Soprano or Joe Goldberg, you can't just tell the audience, okay, this guy's really super smart. You have to show that they're smart by putting them up against incredibly smart, crafty people who might best them, and then watch them scramble for their lives. That's how you really prove that a character deserves to stay alive on a show like ours. It's both the kind of amazing person who would be attracted to them and want to be close to them, and also somebody who would want to take them down. So we always keep that in mind when we're constructing the bad guys. We're basically, as writers, making things very difficult for ourselves. It shouldn't be easy for Joe to get out of any problem. It should be as hard as it can possibly be. So we bang our heads against it on purpose. Now, remind me of the second half of the question.
Let me take it a little further. Yeah, let me take that further, Sarah, because you were involved in a long-running show called Supernatural that ran 15 years on the CW.
Yeah.
And you were involved in a number of different capacities. I'm wondering how you apply the any main character idea when you have two people as main characters.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of like that this season on You as well. I mean, Love is such a crucial central character, and it's really about her partnership with Joe. And I learned so much about that from writing the brothers on Supernatural. The way that they reflect each other tells you everything about their individual characters. And, most of the drama on that show, I was there for the first seven seasons of the show. It's like, sure, they're trying to beat up very impressive demons and stop various apocalypse from happening. But even more so, it's really about tracking where they were with one another and how they felt about each other. And was there something that needed to be repaired in that relationship so it could be stronger? So that really put me through my graduate school of shows about two people together.
Now, talk about the idea of when you're inside the character's head, you and your fellow writers, that it's a very freeing atmosphere, a very freeing attitude.
The rule of Joe's inner monologue is that it's brutally honest. He's probably lying, at least being polite in the scene to the other person. But in his head, he is telling us what he really thinks. I think there's something liberating about that because, I mean, most of us aren't going to kill anybody, but it's nice to have this confirmation that we're not the only person on earth who thinks pretty ugly thoughts. I think that's all of us inside. And so there was something really freeing about just telling the truth that way, like getting to write a character who was thinking some things that were pretty unflattering, and there's no censorship in there. There's no holding back so he can look a certain way. And also the fact that they go so far, that he and Love will go to such extreme lengths, that they would be so violent. I mean, in a dark kind of way, it's fun to get to write about stuff that you would never, ever want to. Not only would you never do that in real life, but you wouldn't want to be on the same continent with it in real life. But when you're writing fiction, playing out your deepest fears, playing out your darkest fantasies, all of that is sort of fair game, and you kind of have to go there to make the story good. So, yeah, it's fun.
What's it like to work with Greg Berlanti, who is probably the Aaron Spelling, the TV series entrepreneur of our generation? Aaron Spelling, for those who don't know, was an independent producer-writer who became the major program supplier in the 1970s to ABC. Came up with things like, The Rookies, Charlie's Angels, The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, et cetera, et cetera. And Greg Berlanti has become, in the last decade and a half, Mr. CW for all the shows he has done for that network, you for Netflix, other show. He's doing shows now for HBO Max. He works with Warner Brothers. He's got an amazing cast of people working with him, including Sarah Schechter, who's like his second in command. Mm-hmm. What's it like to work with someone like Greg, who has really, like I said, become the sort of the as great a prominent entrepreneur as a Shonda Rhimes, as a Ryan Murphy, and people like that in that class?
Yeah, here's the thing about trying to answer this question. I feel like when you hear somebody say that, this very, this magnificent mogul of Hollywood is a really great guy, you're like, yeah, but is he really? I'm trying to find a way to say that so people will believe me that he is really as generous and thoughtful and, just like an incredible partner. He comes off that way. I think if you were to see an interview with him, if you were to meet him, you'd be like, well, this just feels like, like my friend from college or something. And he has been like that the whole time we've been working together. He has an incredible amount of integrity just as an artist. He understands, he's never confused about why he's producing a show. Like, he knows what he wants to support, he knows what he himself wants to say, and it makes him this very generous, focused partner. So I literally wake up every morning grateful that I get to work with him.
I think we have a call, and we are going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Go ahead. All right. Somehow, person dropped off the line. If the person gets back, we will try to bring that person back. We are speaking with Sarah Gamble. She is the co-creator, executive producer, and showrunner of You, now in its third season on Netflix. And it goes into season four for next year. And she's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sign up with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A. That's New York, where it is 60 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment on our remaining moments with Sarah, don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We will have three episodes for you coming up next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all at this hour. And on our special episode next Wednesday, Tubi, the Fox multi-channel bundle, is now making made-for-TV movies, including one coming out around Halloween time. It's called Harlan Manor. It's about a paranormal group that tries to explore, yes, you guessed it, a haunted house. And it may become a television series. We'll speak with the co-writer and director, Stephen Monroe. That's coming up on Wednesday next week, right here, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Does it surprise you that this series, which started out on Lifetime, turned out to be their last effort, at least for now, as an original scripted series. And Netflix picked it up, and it's turned into an amazing success story.
I'm always surprised. I'm surprised when things do well. I'm surprised when they don't. It's not, from where I sit, it's not really possible to predict. You know, my whole job is just to pick the stuff I care about and say, this is something I really, really want to see on TV and something I could see myself devoting the great majority of my working hours, my waking hours to for years and years if I get to. But the story of this particular show, you know, dropping on Netflix as an original by the time season one came out, it was Christmas a few years ago now. I don't think anybody expected it to be quite at the level that it was. I mean, I think we knew it would be a fun thing for people to watch over the holidays, but it really went to a place that, and I have to just credit Netflix. I mean, their platform is incredible, and they really know how to reach people with the stuff they want to watch. So clearly their formula works.
Mm-hmm. By the way, one more thing about Greg Berlanti, and he should be recognized for also an incredible commitment to diversity and inclusion. When you watch his programs, whether it was Black Lightning, All-American, Kung Fu, et cetera, he has one of the most incredible commitments to diversity you will find in a single TV producer. And he really ought to get – and not to mention also the gay and lesbian community, the disabled community, so on and so forth. When Ava DuVernay was talking about permanence for television – Greg Berlanti is, I think, the ideal producer, and his organization with Warner Brothers, sort of the model of permanence that a lot of other TV producers should definitely identify with. So they wanted to get that in. Let's see if we have that caller that we were trying to get before. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Go ahead. You're on the air. Okay, we'll try one more time if we can before we wrap things up. Also, Sarah, in your interview with The Wrap that came out this morning, you had a very interesting comment about the state of television overall. You said that we live in an international moment on TV where there is more of a embrace that we live in a big world.
I mean, I feel like I was a little more psychic than usual when I said that, because I think that interview, I probably gave that interview shortly before Squid Game really exploded. that was one of the things I feel very right about this week. There aren't many, but that's one. I think, I think the pandemic has only catalyzed that further, because we've all around the world, we were having this experience of staying home as much as we possibly could. And when you have to stay home, TV is your friend. It's there for you, especially when you can't be around a lot of other people. And I'm so grateful that we live in a time where I can watch like an amazing horror film that they made in Germany and an amazing series that they made in Korea. I'm like, I've been waiting for this. I love watching the way that these same kind of ideas and tropes and structures are translated through different cultural lenses. It's so exciting.
Do you think that producers, writers, directors here can learn something from how Squid Game has done, for example, for Netflix, or Lupin, or Money Heist, or shows that have been carried from other places on other mega content services?
I think it's kind of a fool's errand to try to make something explosively popular. Like I said, I don't think you can really control that, and because you can't really control the zeitgeist, and you're making something a year or more before it's going to land, right? I mean, we started season three of You before the pandemic hit. So you just cross your fingers and you light a candle and you pray or whatever your thing is, and you say, please give me a hit. But in terms of looking at shows like Squid Game and Lupin and all of the shows that you mentioned, the thing I tend to hear a lot from people is that they just feel like they took that story and they really went for it. And there was a flavor of completely squeezing every drop out of the premise. And frequently that's very exciting, because the way that these things are expressed looks slightly different. I mean, the way that Korean cinema aesthetically embraces horror is slightly different. So even the way the blood is spattering is just a little different. And I feel like when we see something fresh and really committed, it's naturally inspiring. So I think that's the only thing that filmmakers and showrunners and creators here in the States can probably really take from it is just Squid Game really went there. They did not hold back. Money Heist did not hold back. So it's inspiring to be told, like, don't save anything. Just put it all out there.
Speaking of the pandemic, if you did film season 3 in the midst of all going on with that, was there a lot of praying and hand-holding and things like that over how you would get through the season, how you would how this pandemic would impact how far you could go in terms of showcasing the main, particularly the main relationship of the season?
I mean, on a personal, spiritual level, there may have been a lot of me talking to God, but on a practical level, there was a lot of testing and PPE and social distancing and being really careful and picking locations we could control. It was a logistical mega nightmare that went on for months and months and months. We pushed shooting for many months because we weren't able to until our industry had started to really wrap its head around, here's how we can do this safely and, you know, not leave it up to chance and not hope, but actually really have a plan, a boots on the ground plan that will keep people safe. And to the great credit of our studio and just kind of a united effort by everybody in TV, by the time we started filming in November, the positivity rate that was coming through from the daily testing that we were having on our production was exponentially lower than what was happening in LA, where there was a huge spike. We were like this little oasis of work in the middle of a giant spike where everybody was masked and everybody was testing. And we had long stretches where there were zero positive tests. I credit preparation and hard work. And then I also credit the crew being incredibly respectful and taking care of each other and making responsible decisions so everyone could keep working.
So while you wait to get season 4 off the ground, have you thought about, well, let me switch gears to do another series. Let me try a different storyline or a new novel to adapt things. Have you thought about coming up with a new creation?
Yeah, I like to keep busy. I like to have a lot of irons in the fire. So I do have other things in development. Nothing that is far enough along that I could talk about it yet, but I'm working with very cool people that are creatively very exciting. And I think I do best when I'm like just slightly too busy. I have like just maybe 3 to 7 too many things to do in any given day. So I'm doing my best to keep it that way.
The third season of You is now playing on Netflix, available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. And for more details about both the series and the service, here's where you go online, Netflix.com. That's Netflix.com. By the way, Netflix will announce its latest quarterly results tomorrow afternoon and then have a conference call, which, by the way, if you've never heard these conference calls with Netflix, they are always very educational and they give you some great clues about where that venture is going. Once again, third season of You, now playing on Netflix on smart TV sets and devices everywhere. Sarah Gamble, the co-creator, executive producer, and showrunner, thank you very, very much for coming on. It has been a marvelous pleasure having you. All the very best on the season 4 and beyond and other projects. Best also to Greg, Sarah, everybody at his organization, Warner Brothers. And we'd love to have you back anytime you like.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Pleasure all the way. Take care. Enjoy the week.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Sarah Gamble from You, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow to televised coming your way, including our classic trivia question segment. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. You know, relationships like you are very, very special. And oftentimes, relationships like friendships can often go into all sorts of twists and turns. There's a brand new fictional novel that has a lot of twists and turns on it. It's called The Lincoln Highway. It's by a promising writer named Amber Towles, and you can get it right now with a trial run, a one-month trial run with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com, if you haven't heard, is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There is over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device. Whatever you're hearing us on right now, it's Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and our various podcast destinations. What you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, health and wellness information that could make a difference for you or someone you know while it lasts, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, If you're an Amazon Prime member already, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one. And if you decide to become a subscriber, you will save nearly half off at least one of your books for the first few months. That's a great steal of a deal, particularly if you like to offer it as a gift for you or someone you love with the holidays coming up. So remember, for all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up next, we have somebody who wants to be a Greg Berlanti or a Shonda Rhimes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. His name is Brian James. He's about three scripted series efforts that hope to be on your TV set in the near future. And he will be with us live from beautiful downtown Burbank, along with our classic trivia question of the week segment, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, Tune.com. Together, reach over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight's the night for the Key and Young Plug Show, one of Blog Talk Radio's most popular programs around. That's the Key and Young Plug Show, music, entertainment, all sorts of fun things. You never know what pops up. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, the Key and Young Plug Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best to VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of this Tomorrow Be Televised Hour. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New Haven, New York, 60 degrees at the top of the hour. And we invite you to check out our next guest. And if you have a question or comment for him, ring that phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And before we get to him, and then our classic trivia question of the week segment, here are some news note quickies. Discovery Plus will offer Space Titans, the special on the pioneers of commercial space travel, November 4th. Food Network personality Ina Garten, a.k.a. the Barefoot Contessa, will stay with the channel under a new program development relationship with Parent Discovery, Inc. Garten will go forward with a new Be My Guest series next year. BET will originate this year's Soul Train Music Awards from New York's legendary Apollo Theater, November 20th. Family Reunion will make its third Netflix season, its last next year. 10 episodes are planned. Breaking news, stars have signed Mel Gibson to be in its John Wick prequel miniseries, The Continental. More details to come. And CBS will carry a two-hour Adele concert special November 14th. The promo includes segments with Adele interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. And that is news notes for today. I mentioned in our first half hour about Greg Berlanti, who currently is the Aaron Spelling, the big promo entrepreneur around, with 15 series at least running on the CW, Netflix, all over the place. And not too far behind are people like Shonda Rhimes, Ryan Murphy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, my next guest wants to be that kind of series entrepreneur. In fact, he already has one series that's up and running called Youthful Days on the web, and now he's trying to get not one, not two, but three new scripted series to you via your television set in the months to come. One of them that could be running at some point next month is called Bloodbath. Joining us live from beautiful downtown Burbank, as Ronan Martin's laughing used to say, is actor and series entrepreneur Byron James. Brian, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. So as a working actor, what has you thinking, you know what, I'd like to be like Greg Berlanti. I'd like to be like Shonda Rhimes or Ryan Murphy or Tyler Perry or a lot of people who are have become in the last decade or so major TV series entrepreneurs for television?
Well, to be totally candid with you, that's never been a desire. The work is just what I want. As an actor, I just want to be making work. I love everything about the craft of filmmaking, and primarily I like to be in front of the camera, but, you know, it has been fueled from, to even, you know, compare me to those people is obviously nothing but, like, kind and flattering, but, you know, ultimately, and I think a lot of them would say it, it's not like you're trying to attain that, whatever that is. You're just wanting to tell your stories, and you're just wanting to connect to people. You know, I say this a lot, but it's like art can enhance, it can inform, it can educate. So if momentum grows or if it gets to that point, that's kind of like, I think that's a side effect of, like, a greater purpose, which is just to tell stories.
You know, some of the best people in television either were actors or were writers who decided to take on something else because they wanted to make sure that whatever they did got on the page. For example, Aaron Spelling started out as an actor and then became a writer-producer through Four Star, his work with the legendary actor Dick Powell, who ran that independent television production company for many years until his death in the early 60s. And we've also heard of people like some great episodic directors like Douglas Hease, who did some of the best Twilight Zone episodes, one of my favorites, The Eye of the Beholder, or Montgomery Pittman, who was a wonderful writer who got very angry at the way his scripts were treated. He said, you know what, I'm going to direct so that I make sure that what I say gets to you, the viewer, in the best possible way. So Ziggy's saying that, you know what, if you're creating more work for yourself by getting series off the ground, that not only provides a great opportunity for you, but a great platform for other people too.
Yeah, and to take what you just said that I was really resonating with was that, you know, like you get to have the final say in how the story comes out. Like I take that, you know, that opportunity not for granted. And, you know, to be able to put things out in the world that are important, you know, Bloodbath, which I'm sure we're going to start talking about soon, but, it, you know, it's very of this moment. Bloodbath is like a cop drama that is taking place just last year. And it's covering things that, you know, we're all dealing with every moment of this day now. And so I just, there's a responsibility there and wanting to, like I said, like inform, enhance, educate, entertain, obviously, you know, so it's not like it's like we're preaching or anything. I definitely think that there's a window there. And when you bring up Aaron Spelling, he, you know, he definitely did that in spades. There's definitely, you know, something to be said about following your instincts and letting your vision guide the way. And then, before you know it, then things copy that. But that really comes from like one individual or a group of individuals that take the responsibility seriously and want to put something out in the world that is going to, you know, have legs and really be of substance.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Bloodbath, because it is, as Dick Wolf would say, a rip from the headlines type of crime drama.
Absolutely. Bloodbath, absolutely that. It's taking place in 2020, right before the election, and I play a character named Mark. He is very politically skewed one way, and then he has a partner that he's forced to work with, and they have a completely opposite opinion. So in the political context, we're dealing with, you know, all sides of the spectrum. And then there's like a third officer, and he's kind of like the middle of both. I always told people when pitching this, it's almost like a three-act dinner theater play. You know, it's very talky, but in a way that's informative, because there is a lot of passion behind whatever your opinion happens to be with whatever we're discussing. And we talk about everything, you know. And so, and I also really, I can't wait for people to see it. It's going to be on bloodbathtv.net. That's where people can go, bloodbathtv.net, on November 12th, and they can pre-order it now, and they can watch it. This is a new way of doing things. I understand that. You know, I would love to be on Amazon or Hulu or Netflix. What, who wouldn't? But I'm really wanting to, in this moment, put this piece out. We have a great cast. We have a lot we want to say, and I don't think there's time to waste. So I really, you know, and in its own way, it's just, it's flying on its own, and I'm excited for people to check it out.
Yeah. Were there any nibbles from any services that use smart TV sets and smart TV devices to take Bloodbath?
There's always nibbles. There's always conversations. I'm the type of person, whether this is the right thing or wrong, I'm not going to like, I'm going to do what I do. And I'm a very spiritual person. Like, you know, like you were having with the other conversation with Sarah and I was listening to it. I just really, you know, there is a divinity to art. And I mean, that's just the truth. And I think like as a fan and then walking into it and becoming an actor and then creating my own content and putting myself in that, that's definitely what guides me. So I'm not the type of person that's like, I need to be on this. It's almost like it will come, you know, when it should and when it will. And you never know, maybe someone's listening now that could, you know, check out the show and then want to have more of those kinds of conversations. But in the meantime, like I have in this own unique way, like been forging my own road here. Like Youthful Days, which was the first thing that I did, was Emmy nominated in 2016. And that's available right now on youthfuldays.net. Anyone can check that out. And so, yeah, they're on their own platforms. But, you know, we were even Emmy nominated and was like, you know, on the thing of youthfuldays.net. And it was with Amazon and it was with, you know, all these other things and then youthfuldays.net. And I don't know, like, that's been the way things have gone so far. And I'm obviously happy and would entertain, you know, putting it on a larger platform. The bottom line is you want to have things be seen. And so, you know, like Sarah has talking about Netflix and how they're really well tuned. You know, that's the desire. But it's not a desire really to have to be on a certain platform for me. It is the desire to just want people to see the content. And that's why, you know, I'm out here pushing it now and wanting people to check it out. Because even though it isn't on that thing right now, you know, it could be down the line. But, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. Did that Daytime Emmy nomination help you enroll other people to do Bloodbath, whether it's cast members, fellow writers, directors, cinematographers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to bring your vision to life?
I don't think it hurts. I don't know, like, if it's the end or the beginning of that, you know? Like, I think a lot of with me so far has been, like, my energy, my intention. Like, people tell me they respond when they work with me to, like, this kind of exhilarated, like, thing that, because I'm working constantly, quickly. Like, I shoot with three cameras. We do, like, one or two takes, and we keep moving. And there's, like, an electricity in that, and there's been, you know, an intention. So if there's been, like, any accolades or any awards, I mean, that's just, like, a confirmation that I'm doing something that people are resonating with. I can't tell you how many people, even if it's only, you know, in terms of the whole population of America, a fraction that have seen Useful Days, the people that have really love it, and they really respond to it, and they constantly tell me they want another season. And so it is rewarding, however many people are watching something, for them to be enjoying it. And I think if I'm speaking for what I'm feeling, it's like the actors that I'm working with, they respond to that more than anything, because it's like, we want to be doing something fun. We want to be doing something that, you know, got something in it. Like, I don't approach an actor to work with me unless I feel like there's something of substance for them to do too, because as an actor myself, you just, that's what you want. You want someone to give you a script and get to sink your teeth into something. And so it was never really a design or a plan to have it be this way where I'm the showrunner. But I mean, like I was saying, it's not something I take lightly. So I am very, you know, aware that when I'm presenting something to someone, I want it to be the best that it can be and give them something of merit to be chewing on, so to speak.
Actor, producer, writer Byron James is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised from Burbank, California, part of course, L.A., and the first of what he hopes will be three television series, scripted series, will be popping up. It's going to be popping up next month. It's called Bloodbath. We'll talk more about that series and the other two series he's working on for 2022 in a bit. And if you want to find out more about that project, you go to bloodbath.tv.net. And as I said, Byron's with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you from the other side of the country. That's Nueva York, 6 degrees, top of the hour. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have Jim Devericks. He's the founder and head of SuperCloud International, that last week announced that they are launching the first 5G-powered television service. It brings you everything from hundreds of channels, songs, e-books you can read on the TV set, games of all kinds, and interactive pay-per-view specials, and mucho más. Jim will be our lead guest. Do you think 5G television is about to happen, and if so, happen big? Well, you be the judge after you hear our first interview on Friday. Plus, Chief Executive Officer of Canela Media, one of the fastest-rising Spanish-language television ventures around, Isabel Raffery is back with us. Now, in addition to Canela TV, they've got Canela Music on smart TV sets and smart devices, and mucho más to come. So join us Friday, 90-minute edition, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Mavi Televised. Incidentally, that 5G service is called umax.tv. That's UMAXX.tv. And I promise you, it's something to really take a big look at. And coming up, by the way, before the top of the hour, classic trivia question of the week. Stay tuned. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook. That's the cookbook inspired by the very popular 1990s movie. Stay tuned. It could be yours. In Bloodbath, how do you deal with issues like Black Lives Matter, dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, dealing with concerns about right-wing groups and so on and so forth? How does the drama play out?
We go right into it. We lean right into it. Those are the three topics that are covered in the material in the course of the three episodes that people can watch at bloodbathtv.net starting November 12th. And what's exciting is that literally I know I wrote it, but it's like I actually separate myself from that. I don't know how I do that, but I do. So when I'm looking at it as an actor, that's what I liked about it is the most, is like when I was, you know, digging into playing Mark, is that it really does go into those things you just discussed. They are like plot points, and also like one of the characters is leaning into like a terrorist organization, you know, by the end of the series. And so, and there's a whole thing with COVID and wearing masks in bars and whether that constitutes people's freedom or not. I mean, This is literally ripped from the headlines, as we said. But hopefully, you know, like I said, it will be educational and also entertaining, as we're showing what's going on with a lens.
Mm-hmm. Did the pandemic factor into how you produce this at all?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're living in a time where we have to have the testing on set, and we have to have everyone be, you know, cleared beforehand. There was someone that got COVID, and then that was a whole thing. And then we had to stop filming, and we had to have everyone be tested, and we had to film and schedule two other days. And you know what I mean? This was not an easy production, actually. And it's like, I think it's only because I did use full days for 5 years, and I've like gone through ups, downs, left, right, everything you can imagine as a human being, that I was able to roll through that. I don't think that it's easy for anyone to be filming things right now. I mean, it's never easy to film something. Like, I think anyone would tell you, like, it takes a lot of work, and it never goes as you want. There's always things that come up. But now dealing with COVID, as you're saying, that was just a whole other thing. But like, I was relating to Sarah, like when she was saying, you know, like, give me seven things at once to do. That's me too, for sure. You know, I think that's a lot of us that like end up in this industry, is because we thrive on that. So, I mean, give me more. But that's what COVID has felt like in the production sense. It's just like another hurdle to navigate through.
How did you get the acting bug? I understand that your first credit, if you will, was actually being on an unscripted show on Discovery Health Channel called Mystery ER.
Yes, that's how I got SAG. Yeah, it's called Mystery ER, Discovery Health Channel. I played a guy who, his best friend had a heart attack at like 16, and we did a lot of the reenactments of the stress of that. I've always known I'm an actor. I just, you know, like, people know what they are if you really tune into it. But it's like, it's not an easy road to like go down that and pursue that. I mean, but when I don't stand in my own way and I just like am doing that, like, you know, I went out for a Showtime pilot the other day. It's like, I'm hoping to leverage like doing these shows and like putting myself out there to be a conduit for other people's work as an artist. So it's not that I also, you know, will want to do more. I love producing, but that's mostly what I'm inclined to, is acting / you know, producing. It's kind of just always been in my blood. And then, you know, it's like one step at a time. I think it's interesting to be living in this time where I can produce my own content and put it out and be talking to you. I don't feel like 10 years ago that existed. As a fan of this industry, that's very, you know, even surprising to me, honestly, but it's what's going on. And I feel like there are people that sometimes see what I'm doing, and then they do it in their own way. And then so that's flattering as well. That's definitely what I think I receive a lot of. So if I'm doing something that's new or different in some way, I see that there's an energy for it. And the fans that I do have on my social media and stuff, they're very loyal and they're growing. And so there is like opportunities here. I remember people were saying it's like the Wild West nowadays with, you know, like internet and web series and whatever. But I mean, luckily for me, I have had the Emmy nomination, and I have worked with huge actors, and it's been really fun. And so I think that grounds me as well, to have people answer the call or return the email and want to work with me. But, you know, obviously, hopefully the next step will be more people being able to watch. Like right now, like we said, they can watch bloodbathtv.net November 12th, usefuldays.net. Now they can watch that whole series. But, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll get on larger platforms moving forward. I'd love to talk to you about the other two shows that I'm working on too, because those are some juicy ideas, and we're in pre-production right now. So, you know, maybe someone's listening to this, and then who knows where it could go. But, it's exciting.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that in a moment. But first, Brian, I wanted to explore that before you got into trying to put a TV series together or a web series together, that you did a short film version of Rebel Without a Cause, and you played the iconic James Dean role of Jim Stark. And I'm curious, what was it like to essay probably one of the most iconic roles of its kind in the history of entertainment?
Well, it was an honor, first of all. I mean, there was like a competitive, even for it being a short process, who doesn't want to go out for that? And I didn't think I was going to get it. And then when I did, I was just immediately immersed in wanting to, like, I watched, obviously, all of his work, and, you know, just kind of, this guy's got an essence and an energy that's like palpable and I try to channel that. You know, as an actor, what you want to do is you want to bring their essence. It's never going to be like an external mimicky thing. It needs to be something deeper. And so he's got a lot of pain and a lot of trauma. I mean, you can just see that. But he also projected a lot of light and energy. I feel like I am similar to him. That's probably why I did end up getting this role. I feel, too, that you get the roles that are meant for you. So that was, like, the first big one I got, and it was really fun, and it really actually encouraged me to make Youthful Days, because the other thing that people wouldn't know is, because it's not on the IMDb, is, like, when you're pinned for Grey's Anatomy 7 times, which I have been, you know, and it's, like, so close to getting the roles in some of these shows, and, you know, inevitably, when you get encouragement like that, and you know that, like, you're worth your salt, so to speak, that is what then led to Youthful Days happening next. You know, they kind of went one right after the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incidentally, if you've never seen Rebel Without a Cause, do see it. It runs on Turner Classic Movies regularly. And the performances, James Dean, Natalie Wood, Sal Mineo, Oscar nominee, Jim Backus in a unlike Mr. Magoo performance. I think his best dramatic performance. And also a great music score by Linda Rosamond, who is one of the great TV and film composers of all time. The master of the 12-tone crazy music, if you will. You know it's a Leonard Rosamond score when you hear the sliding scale upward and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, et cetera, et cetera. That's a Leonard Rosamond score, and never fails to be great. So let's talk about the other two series you want to do, and they're very opposite, if you will. One is, speaking of stalker tales like you, Reckless is a stalker tale. With a little bit of a Fatal Attraction spin. And then you have the wonderful Wendellas, which is a sort of generational family drama.
Yes, yes, yes. The Reckless one is on deck to be made next, and that would be like a reimagining of Fatal Attraction. It's not going to be like a complete scene by scene, but it is going to be like a lot. And the twist is that now I'm playing the Glenn Close role, and I have an affair with a married man, and we're going into 2022, and what is that like? You know, sexuality, I explored this a little bit on Youthful Days, but, you know, we keep moving in that direction as a society of being more open to things and whatnot, and so there's a lot to explore. I think that piece will sing. I think that that could be something really powerful, and obviously, as an actor, to try to even take my own spin on that kind of iconic role that Glenn Close did is like so exciting and like thrilling to me, like truly. And also, I don't think that people have seen something like this. I mean, I think of Mark Wahlberg and Fear, and I think of whatever, but like, I think what I'm going to do in this is something that people have not actually seen before. And I think that like, I like that idea. I like trying to put something fresh. And obviously Hollywood wants you to like say what it was though. So the elevator pitch is like, it's Fatal Attraction in 2022. And we changed the role. I'm Glenn Close. And boom, and then, you know, you either resonate with that or you don't. But that's, like, that's kind of the meat of that.
Yeah. And then the wonderful Wendell is going to be your family drama, and that's also going to try to come out in 2022 as well. Again, the first of the three that Byron James is going to put on is coming up next month. It's called Bloodbath, a very interesting crime and very much contemporary cop drama as well. And if you want to catch it, before it hopefully gets on television in some way, shape, or form, you go to bloodbathtv.net. That's bloodbathtv.net. And, yes, you can still see his earlier work in Youthful Days, Daytime Emmy Award nominated. For that, you go to youthfuldays.net. That's youthfuldays.net. And we'll keep you posted to see how his other shows, as well as Bloodbath, do in terms of trying to ultimately get on a smart TV set or device or just a regular TV set near you. Brian, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on your success so far, and hopefully in this year ahead, it goes to new heights and it gets on television too. It's been a real pleasure having you aboard.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. Take care. Stay in touch.
You too.
Brian James joining us live from beautiful downtown Burbank in Los Angeles. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week before we wrap things up for the day. Second week in a row, we're offering this question, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook, the cookbook inspired by the very popular 1990s movie. Here's the question. Who hosted the first and last episodes of the popular ABC variety show, The Hollywood Palace? The first episode was in 1964. The last in 1970. It was hosted by the same person, one of the great entertainment stars of all time, who, by the way, made more appearances on that series than anybody else. And there was a great gallery of stars who hosted that show over its great run, which was on Saturday nights. Some of the episodes, by the way, you can see on YouTube. Again, who hosted the first and last episodes of ABC's The Hollywood Palace? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. And we hope you enjoyed today's episode. I certainly did. Thanks to both of our guests being with us, Brian, and in our first half hour, Sarah Gamble from You, now in Season 3 on Netflix. Netflix.com is where you go online to find out all the details. And Season 4, by the way, will be happening in 2022. And we will have a great show coming your way, 90 minutes this Friday, to wrap your week up. And coming on the program again, we will discuss the coming, maybe, of 5G television with Jim Diverick's from SuperCloud International, from Cloud International. They're based in Florida, and they just kicked off their version of 5G television. It's a service called UMAX, UMAXX.TV. Whatever you think of 5G, and whether you think it's only for smartphones and not for television, keep an open mind to this first interview we have for you on Friday, and I'd love to hear what you think about it. So please feel free with your comments once you hear it. And also on the program, Isabel Raftery, welcoming her back. She's the Chief Executive Officer of Canela Media, the fast-rising Spanish-language television programmer. They've got Canela TV running now on smart TV sets and devices, and they just launched Canela Music, and there's much more in their hopper. So we'll have Isabel to talk about that, too. All that and more Friday on DeMarvey Televised. Don't forget, we'll also have 3 episodes coming your way next week. It's our regular monthly triple header week. And we'll have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday coming your way all at this hour. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Of course, check us out on podcast. If you're joining us for the first time today, check out our episodes of recent vintage with people like the executive producers of shows like ABC's The Wonder Years, La Brea on NBC, NCIS Hawaii on CBS, Legend and Temple on Nickelodeon, and much, much more. And The Sinner on USA Network 2 that was with us last week. So you can showcase us on Apple Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, Speaker Podcast, TuneIn, as much, much more also. And we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? And what's your thoughts for where TV's at and where it's going? Let us know. Email me. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Whoever you get involved, we get you involved because we do communicate with you within 48 or within 24 hours. Why? Because more than ever, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not, say, those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toth, BTR's general manager, and Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website maintenance provided by PodSite, the internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator, guitarist, Fakus. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift this holiday season for you or someone you love. But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Have a great time if you're here in New York at Hudson Yards for Advertising Week 2021 NY. Goes on until Thursday at that wonderful location. And remember, we'll be back Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you have to be now and then, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, go over your medical history, and then make a great choice. We are going to lick this pandemic, and we are now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.